This afternoon, I've decided to speak on the subject of honesty or dishonesty. Recently read where New York authorities arrested several former and current students at a top Long Island school after charging that one of them, a 19-year-old, was charging $2,500 a pop to take the SAT for other students. And also in the United States, studies show that 20% of students started cheating in the first grade, and that 50% of middle school students and 70% of high school students have cheated. Obviously, you know, students are not the only ones that are honesty challenged. A study among North Carolina teachers found that 35% of those polled said they had seen their colleagues also cheating in one form or another. There's a website that I'll show you here in a couple of minutes called Fake Resume, and I shouldn't tell you lest you be tempted, but Fake Resume offers a resume tune-up, and you can get fake references and transcripts from any university with any GPA that you desire. Background Information Services is a company that does background checks, and they have found that over half of all resumes contain false information and past work experiences and other educational credentials. In fact, you know, when I was hired at Konica Minolta, they told me they really didn't look at the resume. They looked at your LinkedIn and the things that other people in the industry said about you. They put much more weight on that than a resume because they said the resumes, it's hard to trust them anymore. So our culture, you know, really has gotten away from the idea of putting away every falsehood, unfortunately. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25 says, "Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another." We shouldn't be drifting away from that. Honesty and goodness are something that should come naturally to the Christian, and we should understand that is something that we should take very seriously. In Genesis chapter 42, I think it's interesting that when Joseph's brothers were coming before Joseph and they didn't realize that's who it was, what did they repeatedly, you know, talk about in that situation? In Genesis chapter 42, in verse 11, it says, "We are all sons of one man. We are honest men. Your servants have never been spies." And so what do we know about them? Well, you know, they were not honest. I mean, they were honest in this regard, that they were not spies, as you know, which Joseph was accusing them of to see what their reaction would be. But they were not honest because of the things that they had done to Joseph. You skip down to verse 19, it says, "If you are honest men, let one of your brothers remain confined where you are in custody, and let the rest go and carry grain for the famine of your households." Skip into verse 31. Again, it says, We said to him, "We are honest men, we have never been spies." Verse 33, "As they emptied their sacks, behold, every man's bundle of money was in his sack, and when their father saw their bundles of money, they were afraid. And Jacob and their father said to them, 'You have bereaved me of my children. Joseph is no more, Simeon is no more, and now you would take Benjamin. All this has come against me.'" And so we see what has happened here. I skipped a verse, verses 33 and 34. "Then the man, the lord of the land, said to us, 'By this we shall know that you are honest men. Leave one of your brothers with me and take grain for the famine of your households and go your way. Bring your youngest brother to me. Will know that you are not spies, but honest men." So here we have dishonest men describing themselves over and over as honest men. But God has no tolerance for dishonesty. Psalm 5 and verse 6 says that thou dost destroy those who speak falsehood. Unfortunately, honesty is something that's very precious and rare. And the psalmist says so in Psalm chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceases to be, for the faithful disappear from among the sons of men. They speak falsehood to one another." Psalm 24, verses 3 and 4. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? He who has clean hands and a pure heart and has not lifted up his soul to falsehood. But the rewards of being honest are certainly beneficial. Psalm 40, verse 4 says, how blessed is the man who has made the Lord his trust and has not turned to the proud or those who lapse into falsehood. At the risk of sounding political, I saw this demonstrated in an article that pointed out that conservative people are more honest than those who describe themselves as being very liberal. 57% of those who called themselves very liberal said that it was okay to cheat on your taxes, compared to 20% of conservatives. That's not a great number either, but 20% of those who are describe themselves as conservative say it's okay to cheat on your taxes. And one writer noted that the reason for this is that modern liberalism is linked with the idea that truth is relative. And that's really what I wanted to get at, because we do see that a lot today, that people think that truth is relative and that the end justifies the means. Some of you are probably aware that in an election cycle a few years ago, a lie was told about one of the candidates, and the person that told the lie later was asked about that. He says, well, we won, didn't we? And so that was his main goal, is to win, regardless of what it took to do that. So lying for your own self-interest, you makes complete sense when you accept the notion that there's no absolute truth, but there is. Nobody should be shocked when people that reject God's truth end up becoming self-centered and dishonest at any time that it really serves their purpose, their goals, you know, all at the expense of those that are around them that do tell the truth. So we do have a definite choice. You know, we're not stuck into being dishonest. We don't have to choose to be dishonest. So when we deal with that, as sin, it certainly is something that should be put out of our lives. When it comes to cheating in school, some scholars argue that students who cheat have a pathological urge to cheat. And, you know, that's just an excuse. And people do have a choice. It's not something that's this urge they can't stop. Psalm 52, verses 1 and 2. Why do you boast in evil, O mighty man? You love evil more than good, falsehood more than speaking what is right. Psalm 62 says there are those that delight in falsehood. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25, again, we're told there to lay aside falsehood. So it's clearly something that the Holy Spirit is telling us you can remove. You know, if you're to lay it aside, and that's what you're commanded to do, then you can do it. You don't have to do that. But sometimes people will say, well, you know, times are hard, and so we justify lying or being dishonest based on the situation that we might be in. And so that's a misconception in our modern age, that people have to lie to get ahead. And this website that I told you about, you know, fakeresume.com, if you look at this, and I don't know if you can see it on the screen, but some of the things on the sidebar say, introduction to false resume. Everyone lies on their resume. How common is resume fraud? How much should you lie? Increase your job experience. Create fake references. How to survive a background check. And I was looking at this today, and I couldn't believe the things that they were saying. And here's the justifications that you'll see. I would encourage you to go read this if you can avoid the temptation of creating a fake resume for yourself. But fakeresume.com. And so here's what it tells you, and it gives you justifications. They know that they're telling you to do something. A lot of people might think, oh, you shouldn't do that. But they're reassuring you, hey, everybody does it. But they said the bottom line is that you know you can do the job. And we all know people who have held jobs for years for which they are not qualified. Is this lying? Perhaps, but you deserve a shot at this job. What about the prospective employer's honesty? How open and honest are they to their employees and future employees? If they are lying to you, why not lie to them? That all sounds pretty good, maybe. Except for the fact that the Bible consistently condemns lying. You know, therein lies your problem. Even during the hardest times, the Bible doesn't say, you know, when things get tough, it's okay for you to start lying then. Job markets from time to time have been tough. Today, people can generally find jobs if they want one. I can see help wanted signs everywhere. But, you know, if the job market is tough in certain areas and life is a struggle, what does God expect us to do? He doesn't expect us to default to dishonesty. In Isaiah chapter 59, verse 4, the prophet says, "No one sues righteously and no one pleads honestly. They trust in confusion and speak lies." And too many people in the world today, they do that. They trust in confusion. And when you point out what the Bible has to say about something like honesty, they can immediately give a number of examples where they contend that, well, that Bible ethic is not really workable for me. So trusting in confusion really is the same thing as trying to make everything a gray area by making up all sorts of what-if scenarios. So when you try to teach subjects that are pretty black and white, people say, well, the lines really aren't that clear. The lines aren't that clear. And, you know, during the same time as Isaiah spoke, Micah pointed out that there was a lack of honesty even among God's people at the time. Micah chapter 2, verse 11, "A man walking after wind and falsehood has told lies and said, 'I will speak to you concerning, you know, wine.'" He would be a spokesman to these people. In other words, they didn't like Micah's preaching the word, but they'd rather, you know, listen to somebody that talked about indulgences and would tell them, you know, sweet little lies. I just have to say, honesty is such a lonely word. It's a lot of people don't want to deal with it. They don't want to be honest because dishonesty is something that is very contagious. So about lying on your resume, you know, give that resume to the employer who's already out to get you anyway, is what is talked about on that website. We've got some visitors in our parking lot if somebody wants to check on that. What about cheating on the test? Okay. Everybody else does. And you need a good grade to get in college and get a good job so you can provide for a family one day. And, you know, the Bible really addresses those kind of excuses. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 12, "If a ruler pays attention to falsehood, all his ministers become wicked." You understand what that's saying? If somebody's listening to falsehood and you know that ruler is listening to falsehood, then what are people going to do that are around him? Well, they're going to tell falsehoods too because it seems to be working. That person is listening to those falsehoods. In Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 14, Jeremiah says, "I have seen a horrible thing, the committing of adultery and walking in falsehood. They strengthen the hand of evildoers, and no one has turned back from his wickedness." So what is there certainly is a downside to dishonesty. People want to concentrate on the benefits of lying or stretching the truth. And you know, the short-term gains that you can have when you're cheating. But godly people know better than that. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 5, "A righteous man hates falsehood." Why is that? Why does a righteous man hate falsehood? Well, think of the implications, you know, just from the earthly level alone. You know, not just that it's an affront to God, which should be enough, but how does it affect us? You know, what if everybody lied? What if you couldn't depend on what anybody told you? What if you couldn't depend on anything people said? Or, you know, sometimes we tell people, you know, you need to put that in writing. Why do we usually do that? Because we don't want there to be any equivocation based on what was said or forgetfulness. But sometimes, even when things are in writing, people will equivocate, which is just a fancy word for lying. They will not be dependable, even if it's put in writing. In the line of work that I'm in, there's certainly contracts and leases, and And you may not be surprised, but sometimes companies will have a change in management. They look at that lease and they want to find some way to break it. Well, yeah, we don't need this anymore. It's not fulfilling our purposes. Well, the person that purchased it 3 years ago, and you still have a year left, you know, thought that this was going to service you well. And so it's not really the company's fault or the equipment company's fault that somebody changed their mind about what their need was. But it's interesting sometimes how you become the bad guy because you're locked into a lease. We've all seen that before where we are upset that we signed up with DirecTV or Verizon or somebody like that. And we try to get out of it and say, well, you know, that's not what I agreed to. Well, there's your signature. Well, how would you like not being able to depend on anything that's said or put in writing? Contracts, guarantees, warranties, all oaths were lies, all promises were empty. It'd be a horrible thing. It's bad enough as it is, but imagine if everything was just false. Would you enjoy being married to a liar? Would you like to have parents that were habitual liars who would tell you, for example, I'm going to pick you up after practice and then never show up, or I'm going to do this for you and not ever keep your word? What if you couldn't trust anything written on the packaging of various products that you buy? We see time and time again where a product will be recalled because of something that's mislabeled. And it may be that it doesn't say that it contains wheat. And I always think, yeah, that doesn't seem like a big deal because I don't have a gluten allergy. But for the people that do, that is a big deal that there's truth in what is labeled. And companies want to not be liable for mislabeling. But what if nobody cared? We just didn't put anything on the package. Or if what was put on the package, you know, it wasn't actually what was in there. Would you like to travel on an airplane that was built by or maintained by liars? And how would that affect you? Well, they might, you know, check off a report that we did this maintenance today and we did this on a timely schedule. You wouldn't be able to trust that. And certainly there's checks and balances, you hope, in those kind of organizations that there can be some kind of verification by another person, that the person responsible for it actually did what they were supposed to do. You wouldn't want to buy a car that was put together and engineered and serviced by cheaters. You wouldn't want to go to a doctor or dentist that was dishonest. So you see the downside of dishonesty. And when we look at the scriptures on this, when we noted what Jeremiah said about those who committed adultery and walked in falsehood, it's significant that one form of cheating leads to another type of cheating. So when one allows dishonesty into their life, they may find other reasons to be dishonest in other areas of their life. If that's not, you know, clear enough, and you've probably all seen this, when somebody falls away from the Lord in one area, don't they usually, it may take some time, but there are other areas of their life that will go south as well. It may be that they're committing immorality with their boyfriend or girlfriend. And then, you know, once that starts, maybe they start going out and getting drunk with their friends. Or maybe their services to God, they stop attending services. And so you see one thing leading to another. And it's amazing sometimes when you see how people treat their marriage and they will divorce and then they'll marry somebody else and they'll divorce again and they may cheat on their spouse, but the next person that they marry knows that they cheated on their last two spouses, but somehow they think it's not going to happen to them. Well, this is a person that has been unreliable in the past. You know, if they cheated with you when they were married to somebody else, why do you think that they won't cheat on you as well in the future? So you see what happens. There's this spillover with cheating and dishonesty. And somehow, if we're in that relationship, we think we're going to be the exception somehow. And convince ourselves that someone who is a liar to everybody else is not going to be a liar to me. And certainly a lot of people get hurt in that way. So people can get hurt as a consequence of others' dishonesty and our dishonesty. And dishonesty is certainly condemned in the Scriptures and has been very common for centuries. Jeremiah chapter 14, verse 14, the prophets prophesy falsehood in my name. I have neither sent them, nor commanded them, nor spoken through them. You imagine how confusing that would be to someone that has a prophet come to them in the name of God, and they believe that false prophet. That's why we have to be so careful, and people in that day as well. Ezekiel noted that same problem and observed that false prophets, they create, you know, very large problems. First of all, Ezekiel said they discourage the righteous and they also encourage the wicked to remain in their sins. Jesus talked about false prophets in Matthew chapter 7. Paul talked about people willing to cooperate in tickling the ears of those who no longer want to want the truth when he was advising Timothy on how to behave as an evangelist. Righteous people in the past and today should hate falsehood. We shouldn't want to be the bearer of falsehood. We should not want to be people who are dishonest. And unfortunately, you know, like that example of the resume, lying on your resume, that can be a money-making site. One of the things that I thought was kind of funny on it is it had a 100% money-back guarantee. And I thought, well, why should I believe you? If I pay my $37 for your services, why should I believe that I'm going to get my money back? I just thought that was hysterical. And I may send them an email on that. But we reap the benefits of being honest, certainly. We always reap the benefits of serving God faithfully. One thing about being honest is that if you are, then you don't have to remember what you were dishonest about. I think it was on Father Knows Best or something, that one of those old shows that Jason doesn't know what I'm talking about. But the father was telling the son that when he told a lie, that you better remember it well because you're going to have to tell it over and over and over. And so that was the point. The son had gotten caught in a lie and it had snowballed and it got him in trouble. And father said, it's just easier to tell the truth, is what the point was. And if you are good, if you are honest, it certainly is liberating because you don't have to pretend. And honesty encourages other people around you to be honest as well. It's interesting in my line of work because I'm not overtly in sales. I'm not seen as a salesperson, and so, because I'm a technical person, you know, customers will tell me, well, I want to hear what you have to say. I don't want to listen to the salesperson. Why is that? Because they think that the default behavior of the person with sales on their business card is not going to be honest. They think that they have a vested interest in telling them what they want to hear. I have a vested interest in it too. But I'm not going to lie to them about that. The way that you, if you're honest, it pays dividends not only in eternity, which should be our primary concern, but it pays dividends here and now too, when you have people that trust you and believe what you tell them. Honest people can be rewarded. And those that are dishonest have a hard time regaining their reputation. Honesty also silences the excuses of the wicked. It holds them accountable. It rebukes them and it exposes the easy path that they've taken. If you go over to 1 Timothy, and I want to look at a couple of verses here that Paul encouraged Timothy in this regard. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16. Starting verse 15, practice these things, immerse yourself in them so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for in doing so you will save both yourself and your hearers. All the things that Paul was encouraging Timothy to do, including being honest, was to save others. And Paul said it's going to save you and it's going to be a benefit to others. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, and verse 2. Preach the word, be ready in season, out of season, reproof, rebuke, exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound doctrine, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. So honesty, good teaching can save souls. When others depend on you, stability can be a great benefit to all of your relationships, whether it's with other brethren, certainly with your family, with your co-workers. Honesty provides clear boundaries for your children. It makes them feel safe when they know that they can trust you. And it provides real, genuine spiritual growth. And also make you be someone that people respect. It's very hard to regain a lost reputation. But being honest and being determined to tell the truth all the time, it's certainly not a new concept. It's something that we should all know. But we will come across those, unfortunately, sometimes Christians, that will participate in things that are dishonest. And we need to make sure that that's not part of our life. And we will reap the benefits in eternity. I hope this will be useful to you and a reminder to you things that I'm certain that you already know. But it certainly is a problem today. If we can help you in any way this evening to respond to the invitation, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.